Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBeer here, and we are back. It is the last Flame On episode of 2022. We have made it through the year, y'all, and we are doing just a little microsode, a little recap, a little best of. If all of the critics can do it, why can't we? We are here. I am with Eric, Brian, and BJ. I was going to say hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
I realized on our last episode, we didn't even introduce ourselves. I didn't even introduce myself.
How did
myself.
We do that?
I mean, if you listen to the last episode, it's very obvious how we did it.
I mean, yes. I'm sure Pat will have introduced us on the episode if you go back and listen to it.
Oh, yeah.
With the magic of editing.
I want you to do like the worst edit possible. Like, I want you to go out of your way to make it sound like BJ, Brian, Eric.
Oh, no, I'm going to do it like the Lee Dawson recap Christmas special when they introduce Todrick Hall and it's the robotic like text-to-speech voice. Todrick. When was the last time you paid your dancers? I don't know.
No.
Oh, yes. Oh, God.
Oh. But yeah, I know. Listen, I don't. The editing is minimal. The audience likes the raw feel of our episodes.
Who doesn't like the raw feel?
It's the raw mouth feel of this episode. Listen,
I love a good mouth feel.
I will say this, though. There was an edit request made by BJ.
I love it.
And I actually obliged and went above and beyond and took it a step further than what he asked for. Because in one of his, now that's what I call Gay Life, episodes two ago in the feed, one of the BT members took a while to answer, and he was like, can you put the SpongeBob a few moments later in there? And I did, but it was funny because there was a pause. 84 years.
4 years.
Oh my God, it was I was in tears. I was like, oh, because I literally asked him to make, I was like, quickly, one word, and it was just, now I don't want to say anything like simple, and then it was like 5 minutes later, and then he was like, I don't want to say anything like love 12 hours later. It was perfect. It was perfection.
Because I don't like, I kind of know some of the SpongeBob memes. I'm not like, I don't watch SpongeBob, but I had to find it on YouTube, and I found a few seconds, it was like a few moments later, and then there was like a few months later, something like that. There was another one that was like a longer stretch of time, and there was something was said in between the big gaps, and I was like, okay, we're doing both of these. And yeah, if you caught that, that was a request by BJ that I said, you know what, I will go ahead and do this for you. But anyway, we are here to close out the year with our top five, or I wouldn't even say top five, because honestly, some of these overlap. And I will just say, these are five pieces of pop culture, media, entertainment, goodness from the year 2022 that we want to share with you. We're not going to go into deep discussions about it. Some of these things are topics we've discussed on previous episodes. These are things that maybe we'll be having microsodes coming up. So we're really just going to kind of do round robin style. We'll each give one. We'll just keep rotating around until we've gone through all five of them and just share some picks of things that we really enjoyed from this year. And if these also resonated with you out there, dear listeners, hit us up on social media, start a convo with us, send us an email. I don't know, anything to maybe say, hey, you missed out on this. Go check it out. Or, hey, I love that too. So let's start with, let's go West Coast first. Brian, what is your first fave thing of 2022?
Trying to think the order I want to do this in. I'm going to go from like bottom up. So, you know, reverse countdown or whatever. Or no, not reverse countdown. That's reverse cowgirl.
Reverse cowgirl. Reverse cowgirl.
Yeah. Exactly.
I was going to say, so you like reverse cowgirl bottoms up. Got it. Got it. That is your first pick. Got it.
That is the critical part of all that. It has to be up, not down. Okay. So
face down, ass up. That's why we like to reverse cowgirl.
Exactly. God. Have y'all been drinking too? Because oh my god, the unbearable.
No, just you.
Oh jeez, this is gonna get messy here in a second.
Come on, Luke Cage, redo.
Oh no, that is one for the ages. So I'll start with a movie that I really enjoyed. Did not know I would. I kind of thought I might, but I wasn't sure. It could have gone many different ways, and that is The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Now, behind the scenes, this has actually, I think I was going to discuss this multiple times in different episodes, and it always got like, I always last second changed it out with something else. So I'm not going to talk a lot about it. However, this movie is delightful. It is the Nick Cage piece that we've all hoped, I think, in certain ways would happen eventually, especially when Nick Cage started making really interesting choices with his acting. This is basically all about a fictionalized Nick Cage who has done all of the same things that real life Nick Cage has done, but with slightly different, like I think his wife and his kid, you know, that's different. But he's at kind of like this nadir in his career where he doesn't know what's next. He gets invited out by his agent, played by Barney Stinson himself, NPH, Neil Patrick Harris, to go have this, like, he doesn't even understand what it is, but just go hang out with this rich guy. I think it's like in Monaco. I don't know. Some fancy place. Geography is hard for me right now. And this person is played by Pedro Pascal, who is also delightful. And I never realized how just amazing those two would be together in a buddy movie, buddy action comedy, sort of. It's serious moments. It's not all comedy, but a lot of it's comedy. They get, like, I think high together at one point. They're falling off cliffs together. It just hijinks ensue. And there's FBI and there's other stuff. Like, it's so good. Did we actually talk about it? I think now, maybe as I'm saying this, we did talk about this.
We didn't do it as a topic. You mentioned it because I had to look it up.
I in my head, I'm sitting here like this deja vu feeling I always get.
I think you did it as a one-up.
Oh, well, there you go. So I did it as one-up. But either way, go watch this. It's on streaming services, I'm sure, unless it's been taken off, in which case you've bought the DVD because we know they don't sell Blu-rays anymore for some reason. So that's a callback to a past episode. I don't know why I'm beeping. I'm sorry. I think I might explode in a minute. But yes, Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Go watch it. It is one of my top five.
All right. BJ, hit us with your first.
I was going to say, in regards to Brian's first pick, The Unbearable Weight of Bottoms Up, my first pick is Kim Petras's album Slut Pop. Slut Pop. I don't know why I said it like a northerner, Pap. But I have always
Midwesterner, been, thank you.
Yeah, seriously. I've been following
it like that.
Nope. I've literally lived this. Everybody is a northerner from where I'm from.
That's true. Seattle?
Kim Petras' Slut Pop came out of nowhere. All of her albums have been kind of like bubblegummy, just very cutesy. I know she performed.
Did you hear her Halloween album? Did you hear her Gothic album?
The Halloween album was solid. That was actually my first Kim Petras album.
You would like that. That is the creepiest fucking album I've heard in a long damn time.
Gonna say Elvira was featured in like two tracks. Yeah, absolutely. No, that is where I discovered Kim Petras, but then her first mainstream album, which had the song Coconuts on it, which I was like, hey,
oh, that's like last year. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No. Slut Pop came out fucking swinging, and it is the fuck album of 2022. If you have not listened to Slut Pop, Throat Goat, and Treat Me Like a Slut, are my two favorite songs.
I have a question for you, BJ, because I also love Kim Petras, and before Unholy, which by the way is a fucking horrible song.
Oh yeah,
hot take, but seriously, it's bad. Do you really think that album is good in a serious way, in a club banger way, or in a satirical, I'm going to make this album, but I honestly am judging you for buying it way?
I think Kim Petras, when she releases albums, kind of just picks a concept and doesn't just run with it. She gets in a stock race car and crashes it into the studio.
That's fair.
Because her There Will Be Blood album, like, absurdly gothic and absurd. Like, if it is not in your Halloween playlist, you're doing something wrong. Same for her, like, bubblegum pop album that she released that is 100% meant for, like, not just college students, but, like, 21 and 22-year-old college students who just learned how to drink. College students. And Slut Pop is meant for your 30 somethings that are just whores.
Why are we putting an age on this here? What is this about? What is this ageism nonsense? It is a straight up dirty fucking album. Yeah, like, there's no subtlety. So I'm going to talk about an album here in a little bit where there's like a modicum of subtlety in entendre. Kim Petras, none. Zero. Yeah. It is straight up repetitive, four on the floor, dirty fucking shit. It's good. It's fun. I like it. But other than in a gay bar, it as like a thing, you know, that the different kind of thing, it works.
In a bathhouse.
It's literally what I was thinking of, like, when I listened to this, like, I don't know what it was. But yeah, so much. Not that they play a lot of club. I shouldn't say. I know. BJ, have you ever been to a bathhouse where they're playing full-on four on the floor club music while it's dark and there's glow sticks? Not that I've been there.
But I've never seen glow sticks at a bathhouse.
You could hear your mental breaks, your mental state hit the brakes, and I love it. I can see the tire tread on the concrete. But no, absolutely.
To paint a picture, it is the most, like, if you're going to put a warning label for parents.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I would put her in the same class, as far as dirtiness goes, I would put her in the same class as Lil' Kim and Cupcake. It is Kim Petras' Cupcake album. Because, like I said, Cupcake literally has whole songs where in the background she's, like, sucking on a dildo as, like, the backbeat. So... I hum more songs from this Kim Petras album than any other Kim Petras. Like, Coconuts, it was near and dear to my heart for the longest time. Coconuts was cute, and literally I would just be minding my own business, and like before I know it, I'm like, my coconuts. And I'm like, I don't know where that came from. Now I'm sitting here like, treat me like a slut.
Write it, slide it, bite it, get inside it.
Yes! And
come on, touch my body. I know that you like it. You can't hide it. Come on, touch my body. Hotter, bigger, faster, longer, thicker. Come on, touch my body. I can see that you getting. I can see that you getting excited. Come on, touch my body. Treat me like a slut, little dirty bitch. Now, and this is probably the least explicit song, honestly. Throat Goat. So much. Anyway, I'm just saying, BJ. I'm glad you brought this up because I thought a lot about this album and just trying to unpack what is going through her head.
Oh, there's also no unpacking in this album. There's
delighting in the fact about all the people who are discovering that she's trans for the first time and having complicated feelings. That makes my 2022 so much richer. And yeah, all of it. So anyway,
but Pat, so for next year's favorite thing, I would love it if you could give me a sound bite of Brian reading Kim Petras' lyrics. That's on my Christmas list. That's continuing on my Christmas list from the previous episode. So yeah,
BJ, it has to be the soundtrack to your new TikTok. It's just the spoken word version of Kim Petras.
Yes, absolutely. Make it a TikTok
trend.
I'm gonna put glasses on Jane, and she's gonna be reading the lyrics.
Please do that, please. I can't wait to hear see that. Oh god,
that is my first item on my top five list.
So that was the thing that we talked about, and moving on from the topic that I will not I will not go down my own rabbit hole with, because.
You will not go down on that topic?
Kim Petras would and sing about it.
And say and sign on with a producer like she has. So anyway.
Oh, and there's that, yeah.
Yep. So yeah, we're gonna keep moving on because I don't wanna get myself mad about that whole thing.
Yeah.
So Eric, what is your first?
So my first topic is going to be one that we discussed on the November roundup, I think, which is the movie The Menu, which stars Ralph Fiennes as a very high-profile, disillusioned with everything chef, and the last night at his restaurant, where he goes out with a bang. And it's kind of a story about class. It's sort of a story about becoming disillusioned with your passion, and it's just really well done. And as someone who watches a lot of food TV and like Top Chef and other like well-to-do food stuff, it was fun to watch this movie and mix it with a little bit of horror in a way. So yeah, I know BJ's seen it. Have either of the other two of you seen it?
No, I still haven't seen it.
Okay.
It's like, you should have.
But yeah, that's my first topic, The Menu. Love
it. Just came out like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
The beginning of November.
I don't go to theaters.
Why? Not that many people go to theaters. And you can see ahead of time how many people are going to be in the theater and where to sit away from them.
The theater near me does not offer that service. It is very lo-fi and it is delightful. But I just don't go to theaters. I'm sorry. For movies, for other things, sure. But yeah. I will see it. I do want to see it.
Okay, Kim Petras.
Oh my God, listen. I am so sorry because I love Kim Petras. I'm sorry I do, but I do not support Dr. Luke, says then Dr. Mr. Luke, whatever Luke. And I just read the article on Rolling Stone. So yeah.
The doctor and Mr. Luke.
Whatever, that dude. So yeah, I fully retract any support I had for that album. BJ, it's all yours. But yeah, and it's a shitty, anyway, all that to say, don't buy it.
So the menu.
Oh, speaking of the menu, so I was watching. Oh, I actually meant to send you guys this video too. So Seth Meyers is probably my favorite late night host. Love him. So funny. The show is great, especially his YouTube like corrections and some of the other stuff. He does a show or a show within a show called Day Drinking with Whoever. Just released. Did you guys see it yet? Lizzo. And it is amazing. It is so funny. They're hilarious. I kind of want to do that. Not that this episode isn't turning into that, but like I kind of want to take that format because it's just they just get progressively like worse and worse and worse, and then they're just it's delightful. But
we did that with Luke Cage. We saw how that turned out.
Listen, it's an epic moment in Flamon history.
And then you can go back and listen to it be for the first time because you don't remember actually recording it.
The gift that keeps on giving. God, where was I going with?
No idea.
All right, you're revoked, sir. No more interruptions from you, sir.
But what was the fucking connection? Anyway, but go watch it. It's great. Lizzo getting day drunk with that's what it was. The co-writer, I figured it out. The co-writer of the menu is a writer for Seth Meyers for Late Night, and he's on the episode in the day drinking thing. So I'm just saying that tied back to the menu. It's very relevant to this discussion.
And she posted some clips from it on her socials as well. Because I saw a little clip of that video. It was very entertaining.
The co-writer guy, whoever his name is, I forgot. He looks like Paul Rudd. He looks like Paul Rudd with a mask on. Because they actually still wear masks in this production in New York, thank God. But yeah, that's the joke. So yeah, go watch it. It's delightful.
I was picturing like a Phantom of the Opera mask. I was like, well, all right. Who knew? So my first thing is there were a couple of Disney Plus shows to potentially bring up, but I chose one that we just released a microsode on, so we don't have to really dive much into it. You can just go back two episodes from this one and check out our microsode on She-Hulk. Attorney at Law. And it was a fun ride through the whole thing. He's got a mask out, y'all. I don't know what's going on. Oh, Eric, say the line.
Which one?
Oh God, I thought Eric froze again.
I know, I did too.
So still. It was so still. I was having flashbacks from the last time we recorded. Because podcasting is notoriously...
A visual medium.
But She-Hulk, I wasn't sure what it was going to be like. It ended up surpassing my expectations. Ending was interesting. It was not the norm. And it obviously really played on the trope of what Marvel does for their third act or their climax of their products. The cast was great. There were some pieces that were maybe a little underutilized. And we talked about those in the microsode. But overall, I had a really great time with it. Tatiana Maslany and Charlie Cox's chemistry was phenomenal. Tatiana Maslany's chemistry with everybody on the show was fantastic. Nikki, Pug, Mallory, all of them, just phenomenal. If you had reservations, you weren't sure, don't listen to our microsode because we spoil a lot of things. We talk about a lot of things. Go and check it out. Give it a watch. And I'm excited to see where we see She-Hulk next. I don't know where that will be, but that is definitely something that I'm looking forward to. All right, Brian, what is your second pick?
I did the movie. I'm doing a TV show. Let's do Rings of Power. That was totally not a fist that I was just throwing in the air. So we are going to do a micro on this. I don't know when. We've talked about it. It got away from us. We had other things come up. But Rings of Power. Talked a little bit about it. I think it had not finished its first season when I talked about it the first time. However, it landed so well, the ending of the first season and the story so far. I I am more emboldened now to recommend it. What is interesting is there has been quite a backlash online. And I think part of it is legitimate. They have issues with maybe the way some characters are portrayed, like, you know, Galadriel, whatever, whatever. I'm not going to get into that because I don't agree. But other people are totally trolling it because they don't like the fact that it had amazing diverse casting. And that is something you can never forget, that these idiots go for these review bombs when they don't like, as we just talked about, She-Hulk, for example. So go watch this. I just introduced my mother's husband. That's my stepfather.
Yes.
You're making sure.
I have problems with stepfather and father-in-law. They get complicated. I don't know why. It's my brain. It's like the same like neuron. It's splitting duties. But I just shared it to him. He's a big Tolkien nerd. He loved it. I am a moderate Tolkien nerd. And even if it's not true, 1,000%, it's a little fanfic. It's still great. The music by Bear McCreary, which was my Spotify rap artist of the year, which I acknowledge Spotify is problematic too, like everything else these days, but it is because they don't pay album, they don't pay artists enough. Like the rap was like, oh, you love Bear McCreary, because I do. His music is amazing. Fiona Apple sings the main, like, one ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, blah, 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 that thing. She sings a song to that poem that is, at first, like, listening, you're like, I don't know if I like it. It's kind of awkward. But the meter's awkward. It's a weird, it's an awkward phrase. But yes, they reveal who Sauron is. Sauron. It's totally what I thought it was. So, spoiler alert, if you go back and listen to what I said whenever I talked about it, it's pretty much who I think who I said. But either way, doesn't matter. Next season's going to be epic. I'm so excited. Got to go watch Rings of Power. Did you guys finish it yet? I know some of you, yep. I think BJ. Okay. We all pretty much like it.
I still have yet to watch it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I've never read the Silmarillion. Yeah, that one.
The Simulacrum.
I really don't know much of the lore pre-Third Age. But I've enjoyed the larger Tolkien universe. It's a beautiful show. Kind of the misdirect about Sauron was pretty dang obvious.
Yeah. By the end, you're like, yeah, it's you know, it's yeah. not the one person, and you're pretty sure it's the other, but
yeah,
from the beginning, I went back and rewatched the first few, and you're like, okay, yeah, no, this doesn't give it away at first. But how badass was, I mean, we're gonna spoil it a little bit, how badass was the Hobbit stranger dude's little epic showdown? I thoroughly enjoyed these little, whoever the hell they were, ringwraiths, maybe proto ringwraiths, that whole scene is just, it was so epic. Yeah. And
yeah, they were cool. The only part I didn't really enjoy too much were, I feel like the Harfoots were overused because you had to have a Hobbit-esque lead character somewhere as a through line from, oh my gosh, the lead character in Lord of the Rings is a Hobbit. Oh my gosh, the lead character in The Hobbit is a Hobbit. So you have to have a lead character that's a Hobbit in Rings of Power.
But I like that the main character's a girl. They like the two girls, they're like buddies. And I like that the leader of that tribe is black. Like, I, again, with that diverse casting, they weren't my favorite scenes because they're all a little like, oh, the Hobbits doing the Hobbit thing, which has never been my favorite part of Lord of the Rings in general. But like, you got to do it, and they did it well, and they tied it into certain things in the Lord of the Rings and stuff. Anyway, all that to say, I don't disagree, but it could have been worse. I think it could have been worse. Yeah. They could have had Tom Bombadil show up. I mean, let's be honest.
I'm still waiting for Tom Bombadil. I love me some Tom Bombadil.
Fair. I just, yeah. Anyway, if you're a deep cut fan of the books and you know that Tom Bombadil showing up, you're like, oh boy. which they've never done in any of the TV or movies. But yes, anyway, Rings of Power, go watch it. You got plenty of time. I guess the new season doesn't come out until like 2024, when God only knows what the world will be like. So, hey, enjoy the apocalypse with a side of Tolkien. But yeah, it's that's my choice for number four, I guess, reverse order, Cowgirl.
No. BJ, on to you. Let's keep going. I was like, this is a short episode.
You're just going to need to record all of his tracks and send them to me. next up for me is Beyonce's Renaissance album. Personally, I honestly, she has some great tracks from all of her other albums, but I don't think I've ever listened to a Beyonce album all the way through multiple times. And by multiple times, I mean like 10 minutes before this recording. She dedicated it to her uncle. It's got a lot of ballroom culture sprinkled around in it. And yeah, it's incredibly black. It's for the she's, they's, and gays. I also have enjoyed some of the discourse that people have had about it being not quite the Beyonce that they like or understand. And I'm like, and I respond with that, with the album was not for you. That is my fourth pick as well.
See, what you have to do when they're like, this isn't the Beyonce that I like. You play that SNL clip, the day Beyonce turned black.
Yes.
And that's it. I mean, really, that's it.
There you go.
I still haven't gotten around to listening to it. I know Bad Gay, really Bad Gay, but my favorite things to come out of it were all of the unique memes that were all over Twitter. Best thing. Eric, what is your next one?
I'll stick with music, and I'm going to go with probably my most played album of the year, which is Lizzo's Special.
Yes.
I've really enjoyed her journey thus far. I really enjoyed Special. It's about dang time. Everybody's Gay. Am I Ready? All banging tracks. And she just enjoys being unapologetically herself. From putting out her own lingerie and women's wear line to most recently, was it the People's Choice Awards? Was that the award show that just happened?
Yes.
And as part of her acceptance speech, she brought out this whole row of women activists and went down the line introducing each of them and their causes that they were fighting for. And it's just great the way that she is just a positive influence and everywhere. And she played the crystal flute from the Library of Congress, and it was amazing. And it upset all of the people who don't understand what the Library of Congress is, and was like, basically made a bunch of racist white people angry, which is always a good thing. Lizzo is special, and you should listen to her album.
I am so happy that she's doing larger tours, but I am sad because them tickets be expensive. But it is phenomenal. If you have a chance to see Lizzo, great show. Eric and I went and saw her back when I lived in Florida, and it was a grand old time. So go check her out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I will carry on the music train then. I am doing it's a little mishmash, mostly queer music. I had a phenomenal year of queer music. My YouTube Music Rewind top artist, because I don't use Spotify, was Fletcher, releasing her debut album, Girl of My Dreams. I saw her twice this year in concert. It was phenomenal. Angry, angsty, lesbian breakup music into self-reflection and self-care, self-realization, and coming out of it a better person. Still working on that last part, but the bitter, angry lesbian breakup music, still definitely my jam. Hayley Kiyoko put out her second album, Panorama. Carly Rae Jepsen put out The Loneliest Time. Am I missing somebody? Oh, Lord. Why do I feel like I'm missing somebody else besides the last big one? What was I going to say? No. Okay. Those are the ones that I wanted to highlight. Fletcher was my top streamed artist this year. I guarantee you next year it's going to be Taylor Swift, because Midnights came out and fantastic album. It's different, but the same all at the same time. It's not meant to take you on a new journey. It's not meant to take you on a new trip. This is the conceit of this album when she announced it was 13 sleepless nights across her life. So a lot of the production harkens back to old eras, because these nights that kept her awake at night, these nights that had her sleepless, were spanned across Red and Fearless and her debut album and 1989 and Reputation. So I it feels like the songs are pinpointed to those eras and have that feel of those. So if you've been listening to Taylor for a while, you'll feel like, oh, a lot of these things feel familiar to you. And then she decided to drag John Mayer right through the mud again. And on her 3 a.m. edition had a song called Would Have, Could Have, Should Have, and just rakes him over the fucking coals. And it's phenomenal. So it's been a great year for music. Beyonce, Lizzo, Taylor, Carly Rae, Hayley Kiyoko, Fletcher, all of those. Highly recommend all of those albums. Go listen to them. Go stream them. Brian, number three.
So keeping in the theme, I want to talk about my favorite album of 2022. Tuvalu, which until about 6 months ago,
Tavlo. I did not.
Tavlo. Tuvalu. Yeah, anyway. Amazing artist. I've been a fan for years. But her latest album, which is Dirty Femme, I think I have listened to that album more times than I have listened to any other album in quite some time. Exception potentially is Bear McCreary's Rings of Power album. But love her so much. This is her first independently produced studio album, and her other stuff has been fantastic. She is following in the tradition of amazing Swedish singer-songwriters who have just nailed the zeitgeist, nailed the format that people love. No One Dies
She's
from
the
love.
New ABBA.
Oh, there's a through line there. If you go watch, there's like a Netflix, we talked about this, I think, the Netflix documentary where they go through the Swedish songwriting like industry. It's mind-boggling how many American popular bands and song and singers have had songs produced by Swedish producers, writers, everything. So the fact that she is like organically Swedish and comes out of that tradition, but is just amazing. Like I cannot tell you how much I love her album. So Dirty Femme has been out since October. I'm going to get to go see her finally in concert here next year, which I don't go to a lot of like those kind of shows, but oh my God, I'm so excited. And No One Dies From Love is great, but, and that's like the first radio edit, whatever. Her music videos, it reminded me of Janelle Monáe's Dirty Computer, and that she kind of tells this sort of story across her album or her videos, which, you know, Beyonce's done it. A bunch of people have done it, but love that. What's it called? Watermelon. Grapefruit. That is the song to listen to. Grapefruit is a heartbreaking song about trying to stay fit in an industry that demands you be the peak of, you know, physical perfection, and yet knowing that that's just not you. You'll never be there, but you still have to try. It's Grapefruit is one of the most beautiful songs on that album, and it's heartbreaking, but it's just gorgeous. And yeah, highly recommend Tuvalu. I'm so excited. Hopefully you guys can catch her in concert too, but Dirty Femme, great album. So many good songs. Go check it out.
But will Tuvalu be wearing her cake hat at this concert?
If she is, I'm going to get a picture and I'm sending it to everybody. It's going to be very, very exciting. I don't know.
Tuvalu. I forgot about
her cake hat.
Oh, Tuvalu. Oh, Lordy. BJ, what is your next fave?
Curveball. I actually changed one of mine. Actually, it was so originally it was going to be Heidi Klum and her worm costume from Halloween. But keeping in the Halloween theme and celebrity, I had to go with Kiki Palmer. She's been having a really good year. She was in the movie Nope, which was really hard for me to leave off this list. She hosted Saturday Night Live for the first time a couple weeks ago, and she was absolutely phenomenal. She announced her pregnancy in the opening monologue, and she's also launching her own TV network called Key TV. It's supposed to spotlight new generations of creators. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the internet apparently started clamoring for her to be Rogue in the MCU, and she did a whole series of a photo series of her dressed as not just Rogue, but like X-Men 97 Rogue. So and she looked absolutely phenomenal. So
I thought you were going to talk about the new video that got released of her interviewing Angela Bassett, where Angela Bassett has her do her Angela Bassett impression in front of her, yes. Which is a lot of fun.
She has her do her character from the Michael Jackson movie.
Yeah.
It was honestly, it was great. I love Kiki Palmer so much. She was also on Hot Ones, and she did a really good stint on that. But yeah, no, Miss Kiki Palmer, look her up. A lot of people are discovering her for the first time this year, and she was in both seasons of Scream Queens. So I would say if you're looking to expand your Kiki Palmer education, Scream Queens is definitely where to start.
Excuse me, I'm gonna need you to take that picture down. That is a picture of my sister. She was killed in a car accident. Nobody's going to finish it? Damn it. Baby, that's Kiki Palmer. you also left out that she replaced Megan Thee Stallion as judge on Legendary Season 3. Rest in peace to Legendary, because that got canceled. But, you know, whatever. Yes.
I haven't watched Season 3 yet.
Bitch, what the? That's why it got canceled. Damn it, BJ. Damn it. Anyway. Moving on, Eric, what's your next one?
So my next one is The Legend of Vox Machina, which is the animated kind of retelling, reimagining of the first campaign from the popular D&D show. Holy crap, I just blanked on the name of it.
Critical Role.
Yes. And it was a lot of fun. A lot of fantasy, a lot of violence, and all of an adult nature. and it was great. And the second season should be coming out in January. So
nice. And I know that was one of your topics. So if you want to hear more about Eric's thoughts, swim back through our back catalog, and you can hear him chat more about that and the Legend of Adavox.
Close.
All right, 1, 2, 3. Okay, it's my turn again. I'm trying to keep track of this, of the order. So for my next one, I will say, let's talk about Sandman. Netflix adaptation of Neil Gaiman's Sandman. Dropped 10 episodes and then had a surprise, maybe not surprise, 11th episode, depending on how quickly you watched Trixie and Katya, Queens Who Like to Watch, YouTube episode. But overall, I did not read Sandman. I know that we did a much deeper conversation about this, and you guys have a deeper understanding of the actual like comic books themselves. But I enjoyed it wholeheartedly. It was a really good series. Casting was fantastic. Kirby Hall-Baptiste. I don't think we sang her praises enough as Death when we talked about it the first time. But it was just really done very well. The extra episode was tangential, but still done really well. Animated in the first half. And then the Calliope episode was just, it was all done very well. It thankfully has been announced for a season 2 return, and being DC, but not DC, it is staying kind of, at least we're still getting that season 2. It's not part of the potential slate of DC projects that are being canceled and pulled from production, a la Batgirl and Wonder Woman 3 and all of these other films and productions that are happening in the DC side. But yeah, if you have not checked it out, I highly suggest it. I highly recommend it. Sandman on Netflix. Brian, your fourth one, or number two. I don't know how you're counting anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. Everything Everywhere All at Once. I was trying to do two movies, two TV shows, and something else. So this is my second movie. This movie is one of the best, I think, from this past year in its originality, in its heart, in its humor, in its tropes that it borrows liberally, but in an amazing way, transforming the martial arts comedy genre, such as it was. Into this amazing, uplifting, positive story that I draw strength from occasionally as I need to, from fighting the overwhelming darkness in reality these days. So I think if we talked a lot about this, I know at least in an episode over the summer when it came out. If you haven't seen it, it's streaming now. I forgot where, but it's definitely available at home because it's not in the theaters anymore. Not that I would know. As far as, you know, seeing it on the marquee, but like it's such a great show, such a great movie, such a great journey. Learned something recently that Michelle Yeoh's character originally was named Wang. And she's like, I'll take the part, but you got to change the name. It's not going to be Wang, which I thought was like, oh, okay. I mean, there you go. It's fine. I get it. But yeah, so highly, 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 if we haven't already said enough about this movie and you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's a great Christmas movie. Not that it's a Christmas movie, but I think it's a commensurate with the spirit of Christmas and the spirit of light and darkness. So Everywhere, Everything Everywhere All at Once, please go watch if you have not already. That is my number two, counting down to number one
pick. And recently on YouTube, they put the audition reel for Stephanie. Oh, my goodness. Her last name. HSU. How do you say it?
Yeah. Sue.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's her kind of becoming the her character for the first time, and it's just a lot of fun to watch, especially if you've seen the movie already.
Very nice. And it's streaming on Showtime.
So watch that after you watch Matt Rogers' Have You Heard of Christmas?
There you go. Pay that dollar and get your 2 months for a dollar and watch both of those and then cancel. As I'm looking, I'm like, oh, it's $2 a month extra to add Showtime to Paramount Plus if you have the premium plan. Maybe I'll upgrade for a month and then do that. I don't want to mess with my Hulu plan because Verizon pays that for me. good times. I still need to see the movie. I've heard so many good things about it. I just never got around to seeing it. So I may have to do that, Eric. I may need to watch some Matt Rogers and some Everything Everywhere All at Once on Showtime. All right, back to me. Yes, right? Yep. Yes.
No.
BJ?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, because you were talking about it, Eric. I got so confused for a second. Got so confused. That was Brian's. Okay. BJ, yeah. There we go. I'm telling you, I'm so confused. BJ, what's your next one?
Continuing on with movies, I got to go with... it was really rough because there were so many good horror movies this year. I mean, this year was slam-packed with some really interesting, really fun, really creepy horror movies. But I had to go with Hellraiser 2022. I was very impressed with the story. Everyone acted their ass off. I didn't really go in. I've watched all the original Hellraisers, so I was a pretty big fan. But yeah, absolutely. Hellraiser 2022... kind of was my it's my star of the horror movies for this year, followed by things like The Barbarian, Smile, and everything like that. But no, yeah, if you have not seen Hellraiser, the new Hellraiser movie, it's up on Hulu. It was a Halloween watch for me, but it is definitely it's up there with the first Hellraiser for me. So it is either first runner up from the first Hellraiser or the first Hellraiser is first runner up for this one. I can't wait to see them do more and see what else they do. And as well as the actress that portrayed the priest or Pinhead this time around, she did a fantastic job. And yeah, I can't wait to see them do more.
Nice. All right, now let's bring it over to Eric. Here we go. Got myself back on track here.
Another TV series that premiered this year was surprising for a number of reasons. Our Flag Means Death. I didn't know I needed a semi-biographical gay pirate comedy adventure. But it was fantastic, and I don't want to talk too much about it because go listen to our episode where we completely broke down the series and had a very long discussion about it. But that's on the HBO's, hopefully still for now. and
they haven't pulled it yet.
Yeah. Well, they're still planning on making another season. But
for now,
yes. Yes, for now.
No, not only did they plan, they just finished shooting the second season.
Ah, yes.
Now that doesn't mean it's going to be released, given HBO's track record lately. However, it is done. They did shoot it.
Lord, I was going to say, yeah, Batgirl, anybody?
Oh, the Minx got cut after they basically finished the season too. So yeah, it's so stupid. I hate Ooh. Today.
So for my next one, I am going to do, let me see, there's been some changes, so I want to pick what I'm going to do next. A Million Little Things. I've talked about it a bunch of times in the past. I wanted to do something that was kind of outside of the normal scope. I cannot recommend this show enough. They just announced recently, within the last couple of weeks, that the fifth and final season is going to be starting in February. It was not put on the winter release, so the fall release schedule. So we don't have the big winter break television gap that we get. So season five will run straight through starting in February to the end of the series. I've raved about it before. If I walk out of there an episode and I haven't cried, I feel like I haven't paid enough attention, because it is just it where things like Bros and spoiler alert give me the queer representation, and especially at the age, because the characters are all kind of in line with where we all are for like in that age bracket. The main characters of A Million Little Things are right in that same age bracket. One of the characters, when he said, his date of birth and the year was 81, I was like, oh damn, I'm feeling seen in this. But it's also becoming what I swear is the queerest network television show. And for them to tackle stories like coming out as trans and coming out as gay, and having the gay character be in a long distance relationship and be cheated on, and how to like coping with that. Like, there is so many things that this show brings to the table that I don't think it gets enough attention, recognition, and love that it should. So I highly recommend it. Like I said, final season is coming up in February. I really, really strongly recommend watching it. I call it my generation's 30 something, because I feel like that is kind of in line with where the feel of the show. So A Million Little Things, it's streaming on Hulu and airs on ABC if you're going to watch it live. All right, final round. Brian, what is your last topic?
Andor. Of course it is. We just talked about this two episodes ago. And it finished, because I think when I talked about it again, it had not quite wrapped up. Andor is the best science fiction programming of anything else that I've seen in the last year plus. And it's a Star Wars story too. So that the fact that it's so good after things like The Mandalorian also being pretty darn good, Tales of the Jedi, all that stuff, like, it just proves that the Star Wars universe is fertile ground for storytelling without it being about Skywalkers, Jedi, space battles. It just, there's so much interesting cultural material in an oppressed society finding its energy, finding its strength to rise up and stand against the oppressors. Like, that last episode of Andor, where basically it's a full-on revolt, mild spoilers, and it's just a beautiful episode because it's all so grounded. And this is the thing that I was reading, the guy who created the show, Tony Gilroy, he's like, you have to ground the stories of, far-flung space culture, weird aliens, all that stuff. You have to ground it with real sounds, real items, real tactile experiences to really make that connection. And oh my God, it's so good. Did you guys all finish? Did anybody finish Andor?
I haven't started.
I haven't either.
BJ, you're the Disney guy. I'm looking at you. I didn't say Disney gay. I said Disney guy.
Eric's I'm definitely a not a guy. Disney gay.
Yeah, no, Eric's the Disney guy.
So I've put all of like the Star Wars stuff in like a little folder in my head, and I will say what I've seen of Andor has been fantastic. I haven't finished it yet. I am more on the lookout for Acolyte. That is a project that they have announced that's going to be mostly concentrating. They haven't said at what time frame it takes place.
Yeah, they have.
Have
it's
they?
Pre-High Republic.
Is it pre-High Republic? It's, oh, okay, cool.
It's High Republic where the Sith infiltrates the Jedi, but yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very interested. I definitely, as you said, there are so many friggin' stories that they can tell that they are just like, that are just there for the picking. I would love to see a live action thing involving the Night Sisters. I would love a horror centric Star Wars series, because there's some absolutely terrifying aliens and creatures that are just straight up fucking Lovecraftian that I'm like, we're just going to gloss over that. Like, That's a giant fucking worm. Well,
Sarlacc. Sarlacc pit alone is fucking nightmareville. God. But before all of that, finish Andor. Because Andor is the adult Star Wars experience that I have been craving. And I know they've been trying to make in other pre-Disney times. There have been massive like inroads at making Star Wars TV, Star Wars video games that were not about space wizards. Space samurai. Like, Andor is the thing that finally, and not that I love space Jedi. I mean, I love Jedi. I love space samurai. I love all of that. I'm a Star Wars like nut. But when Rogue One happened, it was popular and it worked in many ways. Sometimes it didn't. There were a few things that didn't. But this is that, but times a television show with the time and the mood and the budget to really get into the nooks and crannies of a Star Wars culture. I think a lot of times Star Wars is very superficial. They don't really get into complex characters at all. And what you're seeing here is the rebellion like coalescing and coming together, and all of the hard sacrifices that you have to accomplish anything in this world, in any world. And that's so powerful. And the fact that like it's not getting that attention, that people are kind of like, eh, it's so disappointing to me as somebody who just, I don't know. You got to watch it. This is the strongest recommendation I can make. You got to get it through. Maybe the first couple episodes, it's a little slow. It's a slow burn, right? It's decompressed storytelling and all that, but like, just give it the runway. It earns it. It's just all of it's so good.
I've heard nothing but good things about it. It's just, of all the characters in Rogue One, the singular character I needed nothing else to know. I don't want to know anything about everyone else. I would love a prequel story on it.
I felt the same 1,000%. And that's why I am so jazzed about it, because from what I did not care about to now what I have seen, and honestly, Andor himself is not the most interesting thing in the show. All of the people around him are what shape the world, and his part is critical, but it's not, it's the through line, right? It's the why you're there as far as like the journey. But oh my God, the people around him, the storytelling around him, it's just so good. And it just, I could talk forever about this topic because I just love it. That last episode, again, marching band nerds, let me make an appeal to you. There's a fucking marching band in Star Wars, and it's not dumb. It's not stupid. It's like a funeral dirge. So yeah, I'm just telling you, please go watch this, finish this first season. The second season is going to be different. It's going to be kind of its own animal. Maybe good, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see in like 2 years, whatever they finish. Because, you know, things take a long time now, all that. But yeah, go watch Andor. It's great.
You wouldn't even need to do a micro now.
No, seriously. I don't want to talk about it ever again. No. Until it comes back. And then I'll have a lot more to say.
BJ, what is your final pick for the year?
That would be Wakanda Forever. I will say that this movie, in no other movie in the MCU, and yes, I'm including Endgame and Infinity War, had quite as much to balance as this movie had to. I was nervous when Disney announced that they would not recast T'Challa, and I was nervous that because I will say, there's been storylines in the comics where T'Challa has just taken a back seat, and a lot of the other characters in Wakanda had to kind of pick up the slack. And I was nervous because they were building towards that. Because I believe Wakanda Forever was actually originally supposed to be a series before Black Panther 2. And then they just kind of combined everything into one movie. But they knocked it out of the park. The emotional center's there. It's like a send-off for Chadwick Boseman. You kind of get that feeling that the actors are definitely pulling from their actual grief. Angela Bassett has the first Golden Globe nomination of a MCU character, her performance for something in the MCU. It is absolutely phenomenal. I was shocked they even left in the world building stuff that all Marvel movies are just kind of slated that they have to do. If you can see this movie in like a theater, absolutely go do it. It was wonderful. I got a cute little picture. I think I may have posted it up on the socials, but it was a picture of these two sisters that went to go see the movie, and they were actually in all white, which is the Wakandan like funeral garb, is all white clothing. So it was cute. But it was a really good movie, and there wasn't a single dry eye in the house. Namor perfectly portrayed. I cannot wait to see more of him in the MCU. Absolutely. And the soundtrack, Jesus Christ, I can't listen to the soundtrack without tearing up. So maybe in a couple months, I will listen to the soundtrack completely. But as of right now, it is too many feelings. I have too many feelings. Definitely, Wakanda Forever, go see it. Absolutely, please go see it.
Yeah, and we'll still do a microsode on that because we have not dove into that film. And we definitely need to. Right, Eric, what is your final pick for the year?
So my final pick, it's just gay rom-coms. This year, both Fire Island and Bros came out, which was, we talk about representation, and they're both high profile movie releases. Yes, Fire Island was on streaming, but still got so much press. Just the fact of how gay all around the production was. It was just allowed to be themselves. It was gay behind the camera, gay writers, gay producers, gay actors, both for Fire Island and Bros. And it was just great to see the stories, and they didn't have to be watered down portrayals of the way things were in the past with gay media that was trying to be released for straight audiences. You know, it was just a lot closer to what some of our lives are. I can't say all, but some. Because obviously not every movie is going to have representation for everyone, but it just made me happy to see those films come out this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joel Kim Booster also was on the Great American Holiday Baking Show. So he's just having a banner year all around. Listen,
he was on Celebrity Jeopardy. I don't know if he won or not, but I just know he was on it.
Just making money moves. Making money moves. Gotta love it.
On awesome. Z-Way as well. He was on Z-Way this season.
I mean, who wasn't? Weren't you on Z-Way as well? Anywho. All right, my last pick. All-Star 7. Like, honestly, I revived a weekly recap series that spanned the 3 months or so that it was on. If that doesn't tell you how much I enjoyed the show, I mean, honestly, you can go back. We have all episodes were reviewed and recapped by a rotating guest of characters and co-hosts. The cast was fantastic, except for that one queen that I don't like. And overall,
No, too vague. I'm just kidding.
Calm down.
Say her name.
I was like, who said it first? Was it Monet or was it the Vixen?
The Vixen, yeah.
No, too vague. I haven't seen my neighbor in a while, but it's always a pleasure running into the Vixen in the elevator or the lobby or wherever. But yeah, All-Star 7, it gave me everything that I needed from an All-Star season. I'm very trepidatious about All-Stars 8 because of spoilers that have already come out and certain things that are happening in the world of onlineness. We'll see what happens. But AS7, so good. Pick an episode, go listen to me chat with a rotating cast of characters. And yeah, that is, I think, the best way, besides saying, is that my camera? To end this episode.
Do we have time for another?
Gentlemen, start your engines. May the best woman win.
They changed it to drag queen.
Oh, God, I love it. I love it. Well, that does it for the year 2022. Dear listeners, those are our picks. Go check out some new things that maybe we've suggested. Tell us what are some of your favorite things. And then have yourself a safe, happy, and healthy new year. And we will see you all back here in 2023 for more Gay and Geeky podcasting for your life. Thank you again for just another fantastic year of episodes. Thank you, gentlemen, Zizzes, for providing lots of great conversation, discussion, dissection, and dissemination of pop culture. And yeah, until we meet again, Bobby Hutch.
I love to inseminate.
Happy New Year.
Seriously, though, I'm going to need...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.